everyone can hear me clearly. As we are currently in unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting. Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for a recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for a discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under Councillors Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where the Council is considered any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. Members should ensure the cameras are switched on when speaking. Cameras should also be switched on when a vote is being taken. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question. Type P if you wish to propose. Type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. In the event that two councillors propose at the same time, the person who proposed first will be taken as the proposer and the person who proposed second will be the recorded as the seconder. Okay, so we'll go first of all to apologies and chairperson's remarks.
Chair, sorry, just to report, I have two apologies, Councillor Stokes and Councillor Walker. I'm not aware of any others unless they come from the floor.
Chairperson, thanks, Johnny, in relation to apologies. Further apology, Councillor Karen McCabot. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. So item two is declarations of interest.
None.
That's fine. So number three, action sheet of Neighbourhood Services Committee being held on the 23rd of June 2021. Let me just go through the action sheet if we can. Sorry, I'll have to go to the other one. So page one, page two, page three, page four, page five, page six, page 7, page 8, page 9, and page 10. Can I get a proposer and seconder?
Proposed, Chair.
My laptop's not working. Thank you. Apologies if I don't see your comments. I have bad connection on this laptop. So item number four is Neighbourhood Services operational update, and that report will be given by Johnny.
It is, Chair. Thank you very much. Members, the purpose of this report is to provide you as the committee with a summary of the actions taken in response to several operational challenges that we encountered during July and into August, and I suppose which impacted negatively upon the level of service that we provide to the general public. I suppose the context of this, Chair, is that we within Neighbourhood Services continue to operate our service continuity plan in response to the ongoing COVID pandemic. And what that does, Chair, is prioritise refuse collection, burial and household recycling centre services. But what that essentially means is that whenever those services come under pressure, particularly due to staffing shortages and workforce deficits, we reassign staff from those other directorate services at very short notice. The impact, Chair, is that that has then an impact on those non-priority services that the services provide. And that has been the case since the start of this pandemic, going back to March 2020. Chair, in terms of the key issues, if I can maybe deal with refuse collection first. The service was stressed throughout July and into August, particularly within what we would call the former Newry operational area, and that was due to a combination of short-term workforce shortages, particularly in relation to drivers, and unfortunately a significant increase in vehicle breakdowns. In terms of those workforce shortages, they were experienced in terms of both COVID and non-COVID absences. And what that meant is that we had to redeploy drivers from cleansing into refuse collection in order to sustain those services. Unfortunately, however, that was not enough at times. And what I should also add as well, that the council's bulky collection and bin delivery service was also impacted by those same shortages. What I can say, though, Chair, in response, is that a catch-up plan was implemented, particularly in the former Newry operational area, when we did redeploy resources from other services, including from cleansing and grounds maintenance. And also, we sought the agreement of our existing crews working additional shifts in order to catch that service up. Thankfully, that plan, in terms of a catch-up, was concluded towards the end of last week. We, however, continue to experience challenges in the Ballyward and Leitrim areas, and unfortunately that was due to our substitute drivers being unfamiliar with the routes, and also in terms of the geography of the area, in terms of the accuracy of the information that we held concerning properties and where those collections were from. What we have done since then is that we've secured a GIS resource from outside our directorate to assist in mapping those properties against those routes, and we do have a dedicated catch-up service in place which we hope will pick up on those missed collections by the end of this week. I can maybe just take this opportunity to thank those elected members, particularly from that area, for identifying to us where we have been missing the collections. In terms, Chair, of district cleansing, one of the key risks that we anticipated in advance of the summer was staycationing and what that may mean in terms of increased footfall. So we did deploy additional resources, particularly to our coastal resorts, and that took the form of additional staff, additional litter picking, additional litter bin emptying, street sweeping. However, given the exceptional weather we had, particularly in the July fortnight, and the significant numbers of visitors, that resulted in unprecedented demands being placed on the service. What I can say, Chair, though, is that very quickly, the cleansing service responded and additional resources were deployed, and they were deployed from within other services in the directorate, not least within grounds maintenance. And we used additional shifts in terms of evening and at weekends in order to ensure we had the necessary staff and resources to respond to the numbers of people visiting those coastal resorts. Thankfully, Chair, we have maintained those additional resources in place since then, and the feedback from a range of stakeholders has been positive in terms of our ability to respond to that. We will be continuing with those arrangements throughout the summer months, and we'll be finalising and monitoring very closely our plans for the forthcoming bank holiday weekend at the end of this month. Chair, the other area that I know members have expressed concern about was in relation to our call handling service within waste customer services, and I know members have expressed concerns that members of the public were waiting a long time in terms of accessing calls in relation to particularly missed collections and also in terms of reporting littering. I've previously advised the committee we have a very small team operating within that service, and unfortunately they were just very quickly overwhelmed with the number of calls. However, we have taken steps with working with other directorates to bring in additional call handling support. I know my colleague Sinead is working very hard with them to actually make very quick win improvements in terms of how we might be able to deal with that in the future. I think, Chair, what I would say is we are trying to emerge out of COVID. It has presented significant challenges for those services in the directorate over the last 18 months. But I think in terms of our future planning, we will build the experiences of certainly over the last 2 months into future planning for the future. I think it's probably fair to say that staycationing in some form is going to be the new norm, be that in terms of the half term or the winter or indeed next summer. And we'll be bringing forward a plan that secures the necessary resources and proper measures that we're able to respond to that in the future. So, Chair, I'm happy to take any questions or comments. No doubt there will be many. But what I would say is the additional resources that we have put in place are not currently within the budget as given to the director at the start of the year. The hope is that we will be able to claw that back in terms of our spend throughout the remainder of the year. However, we have explored whether we can secure additional central government funding to enable this to be sustained. But Chair, happy to take any comments or questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Johnny. I see Councillor Andrews has proposed. Can I get a seconder before I take any comments? Okay, thank you, Councillor McKay. Okay, a comment there from Councillor Andrews.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairperson. And first of all, Johnny, I would like to thank you and your team for the operational update, which is much appreciated, which we're highlighting key issues that have impacted on vital, important frontline services across the whole district, and in particular the former Newry and Mourne Legacy area, and the efforts by management and the department by redeploying staff from other areas to deal with the staff levels indicated are affected by leave or sicknesses. The demand in services, as we know, as you outlined in your report, was stretched severely with the good weather in recent times, with so many coming to our district. And I must say, our staff who deal with calls and subsequently overwhelmed by the demand and work so hard all year, I'd like to commend and say a big thank you to you all for all your hard work and the team on the front line as well. You know, and I do welcome the section of the report, Johnny, that is entitled Future Planning. And from what we have heard here today and read in the report, and fully supportive of the roadmap and future direction, I think at this stage it is vitally important that we need the source necessary funding now and to employ more staff to ensure that in the future all services, be it in the refuse collection, the street cleansing, etc., that they have the ability to deliver for the people of our district. You know, as I say time and time again in this chamber and at committee meetings, I've always raised and spoken about getting more people into work and especially into the council, especially in the areas that are vitally important, and that we should be working in tandem with other government agencies to source funding and resources in dealing with these issues that have been raised tonight. And I must say that the SALP are very much supportive of the team's efforts in getting that funding and to get it through, you know, the future budgets to ensure that with the lessons that we've learned, we can learn on them and also to enhance them and improve our services. But to everybody again, especially to our frontline staff who've been working flat out, they're a credit to the organisation and they deserve a pat on the back, the whole lot of them. But thanks for listening.
Thank you. Johnny, do you want to, have you to come back with anything there? No, that's it. That's
just wants to go with comments.
Yes, no worries, sorry. Okay, so I've another one in there from Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Chair, listen, I obviously recognise, you know, that there has been quite a bit of work done over the last number of weeks to try and claw back some of the issues that have been, you know, affecting our bin collection service in particular. Listen, I've been honest, I'm 10 years in the council now, and I've never had as many calls as I'm having in recent times regarding bin collection services. And there's bigger problems at play and they're not on your watch, Johnny, if you know what I mean, that there've been problems that have been here, you know, for many years, but we've never actually got to the crux of actually dealing with them, if I'm being honest. There are some, you know, issues that you've tried to outline here, obviously, and trying to bring forward plans of action to deal with that. But I think there is a bigger piece of work required here to try and get some of the fundamental issues that are affecting our refuse collection service that just don't seem to be getting any better. Like I had a guy on this morning, for instance, as an example, that hasn't had his brown bin collected for near 6 weeks from the start of July. And at this time of year, that's not good enough. And you know, I can make phone calls and I can send as many emails as possible for any constituency issue that's raised, and I do that. But ultimately, the service on the ground, and those that are working on the ground are working their backsides off to try and deliver a service as best as we can, and that has to be recognised, and we all recognise that. But ultimately, there's an issue at play that we need to get to the crux of to try and deal with this issue once and for all, whether it be staffing capacity or vehicular capacity, and I think both those issues need to be looked at very carefully in terms of how we move forward with this, because they seem to be major problems, you know, and you try and provide, you know, ratepayers and our constituents with a reassurance that we will eventually get there. But I'm just, you know, at this stage, I feel people are becoming exasperated with some of the issues that we're dealing with, and we're trying our best to keep them informed. But when you're trying to explain to somebody that they haven't had their brown bin lifted in 6 weeks, it's very hard to justify that. That's a major issue. And I say, Johnny, it's a piece of work that you're, you know, obviously as the lead director in this, you've a job to do in that regard. And we as councillors have a role to play in it as well, because over the years, maybe we've been guilty as well of not actually dealing with the issues that are required, and we'll put them off for another day. And that's ultimately where we are now. And collectively, we all have a job to do here to try and make the services the best it can be. And at the minute, say it's not reflective of the staff on the ground. You know, was there work? Say they're working as hard as they can to deliver the best service they can. But I do believe that the crux of this are our capacity issues that we as a council need to deal with to try and ultimately deliver the first class service that ratepayers deserve. So it's something, you know, going forward. It's a piece of work that's required. It's required urgently. And I know, Johnny, you're obviously going to be engaging with us as DEAs over the next number of weeks on these issues, and it's something that we need to feed into to try and get, you know, bring forward solutions to the problems that we have at the minute. And I know that you're aware of them, and it's not something you're trying to deflect from. You know, it's ultimately as a department and as a council, we need to get to the bottom of these and deal with them fairly quickly, because I think people's patience are running out with us on this, and ultimately we need to find a solution and find the right solution fairly quickly to come, you know, to ensure that we're dealing with this the way it needs to be. So, I'm noting the contents of the report, and I certainly welcome some of the actions, but ultimately that's not the fundamentals of the problems. Some of the issues that have been caused by COVID obviously are there, and we've had to deal with them across the board from a council point of view, but ultimately there's bigger issues at play that we need to get to the bottom of sooner rather than later, and that's why we need to deal with them as soon as possible. So it's more a comment, Chair, rather than the questions, because I know that Johnny will be engaging with us as DEAs in the next number of weeks to discuss these type of issues, so we need to feed into that, but ultimately we need to bring forward solutions as quickly as possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Ruan.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Thanks for your report, Johnny. I can't say I agree with everything I've heard from you. I think we've failed and failed miserably over the summer months in relation to what we're doing out on the ground and the service we're providing. It wasn't there. I spoke to yourself and I spoke to some of your officers as well prior to the July fortnight and the time leading up to it. It was obvious we were heading for a really good spell of weather. It was obvious that there was numerous people staycation. The towns were packed already at that stage. We were not offering a service, and I cannot accept that we then provided extra resources over that period to deal with it, because we didn't. I am out on the ground. I do see what's going on. I do see our staff that's there. Our staff are trying their best to cope with the workload they had. In actual fact, they had less resources over that period to try and deal with what was happening. We failed. We failed the people we represent. There's no question about that. And I think as a council, we need to get our act together. David also spoke about the bins. The bins, he's talking, he's a councillor 10 years. He's never seen it as bad. I'm a councillor 20 years, and I have never seen it as bad. You're continuously taking phone calls, and unfortunately on occasion, from the same people, month after month, where their bins are not lifted. We are not offering the service that the residents deserve out there. We simply are not doing it. And we need a root and branch look at how we go about all our service delivery. The guys on the ground try their best within the circumstances they find themselves with the resources they have, but it simply was not good enough and it wasn't put in place. And in fact, it was falling on deaf ears with some of the management we were speaking with. They were telling you one thing and doing the opposite, promising you to get such a thing done, didn't do it. And it shouldn't be a case that as a party and a group, we felt the need to go and speak with the chief executive to raise our concerns in relation to neighbourhood services. but there was no other option. It had to be done, and it needed to be done. But we need to learn from these mistakes. Obviously, we accept that there was COVID played a huge part this year, but that doesn't excuse us from the services we've been offering. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Mickey. And finally, Councillor Clark.
Chair, going right over everything that's been talked about by previous members. I would agree that I would like to thank the staff for everything they tried to do in the circumstances they found themselves. Obviously, there's a massive increase in footfall, and I can only speak in regards to really Newcastle, but you know that there was almost unprecedented numbers coinciding. Probably it was like a perfect storm, because then you know you had the staycation extra numbers and a lot of southern visitors coming up to, which is to be welcome. And I think that's where if Johnny is a director, you need more resources then, as you know, even in regards to a tourism product. If we've got a tourism strategy and we're trying to, you know, double the numbers that come to our region, then there needs to be extra resources to ensure we have sustainable tourism. You know, we have adequate cleansing schedules put in place. I think that's where I can't see what the officers are working with. You know, we need, you know, good, cleansing schedules in place in regards to, even outside the tourism season, in regards to our estates. Like, some estates that in my locality, they never see a sweeper. You know, so it would be nice to see when they're meant to be cleaned, because, you know, I've been involved in a lot of neighbourhood cleanups and that, and these same areas, and they tend to be working class areas where they're not getting the same treatment and they're getting a second class service. So I think as a council we need to focus on that. We can make all the excuses we want about if there was a cleansing to be done, that there was parked cars and whatever, but we need to be more proactive in that and inform the population that there's going to be a cleansing take place. This is your cleansing schedule. This is where we be in your location. And could you do everything, you know, to remove your cars from the area? That type of stuff. I think I proposed at a previous meeting about developing an app, and that's how we do it. We can relay the information to the public. They know their schedules, similar to the bin schedules, you know, so they know when their area is going to be cleaned. It, you know, in the proximate day, certainly you could be delays of a day or so, but as long as you have a rough idea when that cleansing's going to take place, I think that's paramount. That has to happen moving forward. Part of the summer plan and something similar, that the resources that you ended up needing, Johnny, that's what you need. At least that's your basic minimum resources that you require to move forward to provide a top-class service for the residents, also for the tourism who come to our area. So I think that's our base. That's what we start on. That's the service that we require moving forward. Also then, the same old thing we always discuss in previous directors and about getting the proper, you know, washing schedule of the streetscapes, you know, in their main towns. You know, that should be in place. It's going to be cleaned that time. Before the summer starts, it gets cleaned. But also on that schedule should be all the street furniture should be done. I walked along the promenade. There's a lot of, you know, mould and stuff on the bins and on the wood along the promenade. That should be all done. Any bins that are rusted should be painted or replaced. Summer seats should be painted, you know. If they're not appropriate, then they should be replaced. And that should be every season. At the beginning of the tourism season, we should have that in place. Alongside, as you know, the other aspects for local residents, that we need to really up our game in regards to cleansing the streets in the estates, because that's what we get all the time, you know. And you end up having to organise one to clean up for yourself, and that's it. And it takes you all day to do, so it shows you how long since a vehicle or a person even has been into the estate. You know, when there's glass there, and many of these estates have no playgrounds or anything, so that's the kids' player, you know. So I'll leave it there, Johnny, but just a question in regards to procurement, in regards to refuse vehicles. How many are we waiting on? Many's in the process for new vehicles coming into the council. And what's the breakdown, excuse the pun, between the legacy Newry Morning and legacy Down? you know, how many in short and sort out stable moving forward.
And just last question from Councillor McKay.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And I have to agree with everything that our members have said there, and the pros and cons of the whole waste management and all of that. And it's one of the things we do get quite a bit, and I say more this time, with maybe lockdown, but in relation to bin collection, outside the door, I suppose, or often have I not heard, you know, people forget about the big work that was done within council, but I'm paying £3,000 for my rates, what I get, supposed to get the bin lifted and the bin not lifted. I hear that so often, obviously everything else is forgotten about, but the bin is so important to get emptied. And even to me, personally, I like to use my bins in the right manner, I believe, in separation and making it simple. Maybe it's a bit of Art 21 coming out on me and how things should be handled, but I think there needs to be, people need to be a bit more careful in what they throw into the bin, what have you. And I had someone on recently there, and again, talking about 6 weeks since their bins was lifted, and I did send in that to someone in council in relation to that. Couldn't believe it, people waiting so long. And if I read the officers' reports that come out daily on collections, I will look at those, and I generally will put those up on social media, if asking people to keep them out on their curbside, and that works very well. I was going to say something there. Yeah, in relation to public bins or on the street bins, at this time of year, in the good weather time, you're quite a bit. Those bins are not emptied off enough, should be emptied oftener. We do see, I see Newcastle quite a bit, there's so much stuff there that's been bagged and put around the bins for collection later. There seems to be someone on there almost during their entire working day to get that in order, and I would like to think that something similar like that could be put in, even in my own area, certainly not near as busy as Kilkeel or as Newcastle, but maybe it could be. And to be honest, there's a few stray bins that are not sitting in that built-up cluster, are sitting in various end of streets. They're not just, you don't sit over and see them, but people are there and haven't been collected. And I think it's something to take on board, that I know there's a sort of consultation going out at the minute as to placing new bins in various places. And I know some of these new bins have been asked for in end of roads that you're certainly not driving past, and that's going to have to be looked at too, that the bin collectors will make their way down the end of those roads and don't just abandon them. Just don't let them fill up the bird flat bins and hope that's the end of it. That's not the end of it. They're going to need emptied. Just again, back to the reports, staff officer reports, very often I see that it says the various collectors and whatever areas broke up from 1 to 10 or whatever it is, and you see that that particular area has been complete. And maybe within 2 hours of me reading that, somebody has a bin sitting, or two or three bins sitting in that street. So I think, honestly, I've said this before, there's a wee bit of work to be done on how that is handled. Does somebody not be totally honest with what information they're putting out there, if I like yourself, to read up on? Because, or even the officer who has to write that up and report, when he says complete, in actual fact, a street has not been complete. And I think there's something needs to be done, maybe to specify, hit more areas, which is not right. And we can, as councillors, advise them, sorry, there's been a breakdown, lorry was overloaded, whatever the case may be, leave your bin out in that street for collection tomorrow or next day. Generally, you're reasonably good and you state when it's going to be collected. But that just needs to be highlighted. And back again, just to the, I noticed the flagstones in Newcastle have been washed with a special power hose. I've seen that been done, and that was very useful. There's been a lot of condemnation I've seen in papers and what have you over the state of the place, but it's getting a good clean up. And I hope someday, if there's any time left, bring her to Kilkeel. There's a few wee bits could do a bit of a wash there too. Thank you.
Thank you, Johnny. I'm going to let you come back in and then, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, thank you, Chair. I suppose in terms of my own position, I can't disagree with the elected member's assessment. I suppose from my perspective, we have not provided the level of service that you expect nor that our general public expect. Some of the members touched on what I would call the structural issues that I suppose have never been addressed as part of the merger, and particularly I think the reference was made in terms of the age of the fleet. There's also issues in terms of the lack of investment in technology. However, that aside, I think there are basics that we're not doing right either. And my priority, certainly in the last couple of weeks, has been trying to fix those basics. And of course, I'd welcome members' engagement around how we deal with more of these structural issues which are affecting the services. In terms of the completion of the rounds, it is something that we face as a challenge on a daily basis. We still incur vehicle breakdowns. We still have staff who report in absent, be it through COVID or not COVID sickness absence. We still have issues around parked cars at times, but there are issues in terms of how we communicate to yourselves and indeed to the general public that we need to urgently fix. I think, Chair, in terms of the power washing, what you have seen in some of our coastal resorts to date has been steps that we have taken. They are not as good as what a deep clean would be. However, we are awaiting the appointment of a contractor arising from a procurement exercise to do that. I expect that to be imminent, which would then allow us to deploy and prioritise particularly our coastal resorts over the next month or two in terms of cleaning the pavements. We will then roll that out in a schedule to our major towns and villages. So we'll be able to advise elected members of that at the next committee meeting. And I think, Chair, there was a question from Councillor Clark on the vehicles. There's actually an item on the agenda in terms of where we are in the fleet replacement update. So maybe, Chair, we could pick up the issues there. But thank you.
Thank you, Justin. Moving on to number five on the agenda is the public toilet strategy work packages, and that report will be taken by Kevin Scullion.
Thanks, Chair. So the report presented provides councillors with a copy of the presentation action sheet arising from the scoping exercise which councillors attended earlier in relation to the council's public toilet strategy. At the scoping exercise, three questions were posed to the councillors during that process. The first question was, what were the council's priorities with regard to the public toilet strategy? And within the report I provided to you tonight, we were making recommendations for five initial priorities for consideration. Councillors' views were sought in terms of the mode of delivery of the public toilet service going forward. Nothing strong was coming out in terms of that. And what we as officers are recommending is that we would do a market testing exercise to see what different types of modes of delivery are used out there by other public authorities and bring back the findings out to yourselves to help determine the way forward. The third point we spoke about at the scoping exercise, again, we didn't get a firm commitment on this, and it's one of the things perhaps I'd like the views of the committee on tonight is going forward, the governance arrangements that we would have for the delivery of the public toilet strategy, there are different ways that we can keep you as councillors involved within that process, and it would be good to get direction from the council as to, from the committee as to how it would see that going forward. Chair, the committee is asked to note the contents of the report and to agree the recommendations as set out in sections 2.2 of the report. And as I say, we are seeking direction or comment from the committee tonight in relation to the governance arrangements going forward. But in summary, the five priorities, I think the a bit like the conversation previously, I suppose, the councillors who attended the scoping exercise wanted to see action on the ground, and they referred to quick wins, to bring forward quick wins in terms of public toilet strategy. So the five priorities that we have set out within the report are potentially fall within that quick win definition. So it's A, providing a public toilet cleaning maintenance service which is cost effective, efficient and meets customer expectations. B, bring forward proposals for how to address the significant usage of public toilets in the Newcastle area. Within the presentation, we see the peak increase in the use of the Newcastle toilets over that 12th fortnight period. Identify those public toilets which are to remain. We have 31 public toilets, and within the strategy, we identify those which will remain by and large as they are, but are in need of general repairs and refurbishment. So a quick win there is to bring forward a business case in terms of that and seek your approval to refurbish those toilets. D, consider the use of portable toilets as part of the council provision in specific areas on a trial basis. Lastly, E, to identify and secure the additional support required to deliver the project in its entirety, at which point a fully costed proposal for completion of the strategy could be tabled to this committee for consideration. Chair, that's a summary of the report, but happy to take any questions from the members.
Thank you, Kevin. I see the proposal there from Councillor Clark and seconded by Councillor McKee. So thanks for that. So Councillor Clark, go ahead.
Thanks, Chair. And, happy enough to propose it. I couldn't make the workshop, but I think we've had a good, you know, earn of the views of the members of the committee in regards to the talent strategy. And I agree with the comments in regards to we now have to, you know, start work in a phased fashion. I think that's what the strategy is setting out, because the huge numbers that used the Newcastle facilities, I think it was over 60,000 over a period during the holidays. There was about 60,000 used the Newcastle appliances, you know, compared to about 400 or 500 in Kilkeel, you know, so it gives you, you know, the amount of people using the facilities and the cleaning required for them facilities, you know, on a continual basis. And even then people are, you know, you can end up a toilet in a bad condition. I think my own opinion in around Castle Park would a good block in there and refurb the buildings that we have. We have the old toilet block and the Newcastle Bowling Club, so plenty of space in that area. And even from the carbon footprint position, you'd like to use as much you know, of the building as possible, and not be using new materials in regards to, you know, building and construction. So a refurbishment there and staffed would be essential, in my view, moving forward. But in regards to maybe the governance, and I think maybe the governance strategy that you're talking about in regards to a project board, this is a really important issue, and it's a bit like the cleansing and the refuge. This is what people see councils doing. This is, even we don't have the statutory responsibility for toilets, people expect in towns and villages that toilets are provided and adequate cleansing of the toilets. And so a project board, I think, does merit the setting up of a project board where elected members are working with council officers and moving through the work packages that are put together. I think that's a really good way forward. And then you could have even, you know, members being on subgroups and stuff, you know, working alongside officers. And I think we'd get a better, you know, we'd get a better result. But I think thanks for the efforts on it, Kevin and Gail and everybody else who's involved in it. It's been a long time to get to this stage. So the sooner we do start getting the business cases together and getting these toilet facilities improved, the better. But I'd propose that I think we look at a project board, Kevin, to take this forward.
I'll second that.
Well, yeah, okay, that's perfect. I'm all up. Thank you. There is a question there from Councillor McKee.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, I agree with what Willie has said there. We'd gone to that scoping exercise and led by Kevin, and I must admit it was greatly well detailed and the importance and the need of it. And thankfully, there's a number of repair and upgrade, in some cases extensions. I think the figures that has been gathered has been like 67,000 in Newcastle, and that's a lot of people. And yet those are only people who use the toilets. How many more people have not been there who hadn't needed the toilets? And I think it's a good estimation of the number of people who hit the particular areas. I know you mentioned Kilkeel was low, and it is low in comparison to that, vastly low, but it's a good estimation. But it really shows the importance of toilets, and there is a need for good toilets. And people like, when they go, that their toilet is available, a toilet is clean, and a toilet is accessible, and particularly in events which run on later in the evening. I think, again, it's important. And it's important, I think, we as councillors would take that forward, pass that message on to the office, say, can someone keep that toilet open to an hour or two later, whatever the case may be, so that it's accessible. And again, it's up to, it's not up to us to make sure there's no antisocial behaviour around toilet, but certainly if it's reported to us, we need to get back to you and say, because, in fact, Kilkeel just got a brief shout across to McCarr the other day, supper free in Kilkeel at the moment, all's good. So thankfully that has, resolved itself, and I hope it continues on. I'm not sure if there's difficult areas, has the thought of, those smaller type cameras pictured just around those buildings, that the information could be relayed back to council just to keep a close eye if there's trouble areas. You know, because we often hear that there's so much damage has been done to toilet doors and internally, but nobody has seen these things. So they say, don't want to maybe get involved, but that would be one way of maybe looking at it. I don't know what that would all entail, but it's maybe another wee thing just to look at. Thank you.
Thank you. And there's another question from Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. And first of all, I'd like to thank Kevin and colleagues for all their hard work in presenting tonight's report to us, for our consideration. And I do agree with Councillor Willie Clark there. You know, I think that maybe one of the actions that we take from tonight would be a sort of set, a template to get a project board or, you know, a working group or whatever similar to the Christmas eliminations to get established as soon as practically possible to engage with the officers, because there's a lot of hard work that has to be done over the coming weeks and months, and to more or less to put the strategies and the packages into action. As again, we've had an interesting debate so far in frontline services between bins and refuge collection, etc. And I think public conveniences are major another topic of topic of concern. We have to sort of get on with it, and as I say, from the SDLP here, we'll be supporting the paper in principle, and also maybe through party reps in due course to get the mechanism in place to get the project board up and running, hopefully as soon as possible. But thanks.
Thank you, Kevin. Do you want to come back in any of that?
Sure. Maybe I missed it. I didn't get the questions there. But in terms of commenting, I think, yes, I would agree with Councillor Clark in terms of the project board. You don't really get the time at the Neighbourhood Services Committee maybe to give this subject the discussion it needs in detail. And the project board would be one means of doing that. We found the benefit of that, as Councillor Andrews has said, with the Christmas Illuminations Group, it allows for better discussion. I personally have observed that within the Castle Welland Park project board as well. And I would expect it may be a hybrid between the two that we would go for. So yes, happy to take that forward. I don't know whether the members want to consider if we move forward with the project board, the composition of it, whether it would be councillors from each of the DEAs, or whether it would be a subset of this particular committee that the councillors would want to have as members of the board. Now, what I could do is bring back a paper next month with the options on that, or I'm happy to take direction from the committee tonight.
Yeah, Chair, I'm happy to include it. You bring back an options paper to the next committee. Yeah,
I would agree with that as well, through the Chair. Thank you.
Chair, would members be happy if we also brought back draft terms of reference? Because then you would deal with the governance arrangements in terms of makeup and the terms of reference for the board at the same time. So we'll proceed on that basis if the members are content.
Through the Chair, that's a good idea, Tony. Thank you.
Good. Okay. So moving on, we have item number 6, bus shelter requests, and that's reports by Kevin Scullion as well.
Thanks, Chair. It refers to three requests we have under the Council's bus shelter policy. An erection of a bus shelter at Bridge Road Burn. Now, that's one of the shelters we've spoken about in this committee before. It was with TransLink. The NEC indicated that they were going to go forward with that one. But they've subsequently relented on that, and they're not able to do it in the sort of time frame that is workable, and therefore it's come back to ourselves. The second is for the removal of an existing bus shelter at Corlett Road in Whitecross, and the third relates to the replacement of an existing bus shelter at Ard Freeland in Newry. Councillor Stokes, who's not here tonight, it was he who raised that one with us. Taking each in turn, the Burn Road one, we've gone through the process with regard to the policy. PSNI, DFI Roads have been consulted and no objections. We carried a neighbourhood consultation and there are no objections from that. So therefore it meets with the council policy. Cornet Road, it's the removal of an existing bus shelter, not going to replace it. The existing bus shelter is quite old. It has become an eyesore. The bus stop is no longer active and TransLink confirmed that there's no longer a need for it there. So our proposal is to remove it with no replacement. And Art Freeland, just on the edge of Newry, is to replace one of our old existing bus shelters. The existing bus shelter protrudes into the neighbouring property. It's closed off in nature and attracts a level of antisocial behaviour. What we're proposing there is to replace it with a cantilever type shelter in line with a footpath. It'll be more open and will deter any sort of antisocial behaviour issues that we currently are having. DFI Roads have been consulted and they have no objections. The information from TransLink is that it remains a well-used bus stop, particularly for school children. Chair, is to note the content of the report and to approve the recommendations set out in section 3.1 of the report.
Thank you. We have a proposal there from Councillor Andrews and seconder is Councillor McGuinness. So I'll take the first question, is Councillor O'Hare.
Thanks, Chair. This is a question for Kevin. I know I'm not on this committee, but is there any update on the Main Street bus shelter in Hilltown, Kevin? It has been passed now from the 24th of April, you know. I was expecting it to be in probably for the children to go back to school, you know. So the one at the bottom of Spellier Park, it has been, it's already in. So great news for that, Kevin. But if you could give me a wee update on the Main Street one, and could you give me a time frame?
Which are, those are further two applications that were initially with TransLink and were to move forward. It's ones that we've had to move back into. As the councillor says, the one at Spelga Park has been installed. We have a tender out at the moment. It closes next week for the procurement of a bus shelter and installation at that site. With a fair wind, I would expect that the shelter should be in towards the end of September or early October.
That's lovely. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you. Comment from Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. Just in relation, Councillor Stokes had contacted me in relation to Art Freeland, and as I say, I'm only too happy to read into the record to propose the recommendations that have been tabled in 3.1. So thanks very much.
Thank you. If that's all the questions, I'll move on. So item number 7, Christmas Illuminations and Celebrations Group Meeting 5th of August 2021. I'm happy to propose this one. So, Kevin, you're taking that.
Thanks, Chair. So, purpose of the report is to provide councillors with the opportunity to review the action sheet from the councillors' Christmas Illumination Group, which took place on the 5th of August. It's attached to Appendix 1 to the report. The committee is asked to note the content of the report and approve the recommendations as set out in Section 2.3 and to 2.5, the associated appendices 2 and 3. Two key issues from it, Chair. We now have 31 sustainable Christmas trees across the district. Some are showing signs of distress, particularly after that particularly hot, dry period, and we are recommending their replacement. Our grounds maintenance manager, who's with us tonight as well, is recommending a change for those trees to maybe a hardier element of tree that is more likely to survive in the environments that those trees currently have not. Photographs of those he is proposing are provided at Appendix 2B. Secondly, officers are continuing to work towards increasing the sustainable trees in a small way. We have two current projects, one from last year for the village of Meath. The tree was placed last year, but we did not get the power to that site, but we're moving forward with that currently. And the second one is we have up until this year provided a cut tree to Gargery, and the local community close to that Leitrim are proposing to replace that Gargery tree with a sustainable Christmas tree in Leitrim itself. Now, recommendation approved at previous committees, this committee wants us to move in that direction, so we are moving in that direction to comply with that, and we are applying for a new power supply to that site as well, because there currently is no power where we'll be putting the sustainable Christmas tree. Chair, happy to take any questions, but seek approval of the report and its recommendations.
Thank you, Kevin. Just in the absence of my party colleague, Roisin Cowell, I just want to discuss Appendix 3 on Item 7, proposed relocation of the Christmas tree in Leitrim. Having been approached by members of Leitrim GAA Club and the local community, I think the resiting of the Christmas tree into Leitrim Village would be a positive move and would enable the local community to host a Christmas event suitable for young and old in the village. I would urge council officials to continue to work on this and ensure that all logistics are in place prior to autumn this year. Okay. I'll take all the comments and questions first, and then, Kevin, you can come back in if there is any. So, sorry, seconder there was Councillor Murphy. So we have a question in from Councillor Curran.
Thanks, Chair. That's in relation to Item 7, is Christmas illuminations. And while I note that the report deals mostly about trees, could I ask this evening that we're dealing with Christmas illuminations, will English Street be included in Dan Patrick's Christmas illuminations this year? Because it hasn't been in the past years, and a lot of people, their business people, are quite annoyed about not having them lights and illuminations in their English Street and the lower Church Street. Thank you.
Councillor McKay.
Thanks, Chair. Yes. Yeah, and thanks for Kevin for that report too. I've been at those meetings. He did mention trees in distress, and I did say at the last meeting, I think that all along wasn't too bad, but I just drove by it the other day, and to be honest with you, trees dead right to the very top, so certainly needs replaced. And I think Johnny Ellis is the man to make his suggestion of what type of tree is best placed for particular areas. I did ask at that meeting that is there any form of like a drip water feed, particularly in the summertime, could be added to those trees, and I think it would be very useful. So I just trust that that will still be looked into. Thank you.
Thank you. And Councillor Clark.
Chair, just very briefly to say, in regards to the sustainable Christmas trees, I think it's been a great success. And I know we're taking a couple of year break to monitor growth and whatever before we maybe roll out further sustainable trees. I think it's fair to give the areas, you know, where the tree died, where either the conditions didn't suit or the soil didn't suit. I think it's fair to try to get an appropriate, you know, tree or a pine tree that will be suitable to conditions. I know the Newcastle Harbour tree died. It's almost dead, I know. But, you know, a more suitable, you know, pine tree would be suffice. All people want, once the lights are on and all, is similar shape. So, you know, we don't have to be purists in regards to the traditional Christmas tree. But I would like to thank Johnny and that and Kevin, you know, for ensuring that there will be replacement trees. I think the community will be, you know, greatly appreciative of that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks, Chair. Just more or less, I'd like to thank the officers for their actions and reports stemming from the meeting that was recently. And just, I know it's just looking through the appendix there, I've just seen some trees in certain areas didn't grow or whatever. But and also in relation to wilding, well, more or less welcome that. It's good to see. But in relation to trees and wilding, will there be any steps taken to ensure that, for example, if wilding or overgrowth doesn't stem or impede on the growth of trees? Thanks.
Thank you, Kevin. You can come on in now.
Starting with Councillor Curran's question in terms of English Street, that is something that we did consider, and a report was provided to the committee in June in relation to that. The difficulty with English Street is that unlike your typical street where we would place Christmas illuminations, There's no freestanding lampposts. The street lighting is attached to the walls of the buildings, and that in itself creates difficulty in erecting your typical Christmas illuminations. But what the proposal that we did look at was facing straight up into English Street is our own art centre, and we looked about placing a curtain of Christmas illuminations which would shine up into English Street, giving it that Christmas feel. But it was quite an expensive option, and the committee here agreed not to proceed with that option at this time for this year. We're committed to what we're committed to for this year, and we're already fairly well underway in terms of the planning and procurement of what's needed. What I would say perhaps is a level of some comfort to Councillor Kern is at this committee as well. We've also agreed to look going forward in terms of how we deliver Christmas illumination across the district, whereby at the moment it's everything that we own we put up, whereas there may be options for us to consider in some of our bigger towns that we have some sort of power agreement whereby there will be wider options for us to consider. And as officers, we have committed to bring back our paper on that to this committee for consideration. In terms of Councillor McKee's comments in relation to Anolong, it was a beautiful tree. It's sorry to see that it has died, and we will be taking the action once approved here tonight to replace that. You also asked about the water feed, and Councillor Andrews asked about wilding. So Johnny is with us, Johnny Ellis. Maybe if you wouldn't mind, then I'd ask Johnny if he would care to comment in terms of the water feed that Councillor McKee referred to, and the potential impact of rewilding around some of our trees.
Sure. While I listen to what Kevin is saying, and I respect what he has to say there in relation to English Street, but there is no lamppost there. But I thought that there might be some consideration given to the suggestion that at the Arts Centre there we might do something there, because we must remember the ratepayers of English Street do contribute a lot of money to this council. And indeed, another thing, could there be any small modification done to the original plan that we had for the Arts Centre, maybe this year? But you said, you're telling me now, that's not included in the budget. So I would be a bit disappointed, but I'd like to think maybe we could reconsider and see if there's something we could do.
Sure, as I said, it was a paper we brought to the committee in June, the decision at that stage, which is with full council, was that we would not proceed with anything to do with the Arts Centre for this year. I think the cost was in around about £4,000 to £5,000 for the curtain lighting that we talked about for the Arts Centre.
Thank you. Okay, we move on then to item number 8.
Sure, I think Johnny Ellis was going to come in, maybe just to comment on terms of.
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Chair, sorry, just to answer a couple of the questions there. The item with the sort of automatic watering, we are looking at about half a dozen different variations on that, both direct connections from water supplies and some form of reservoir system that will hold water if we don't have direct local connections. As well as that, we're looking at improving the local growing environment and sort of three or four alternative tree species. And with reference to the rewilding, we are currently looking at that, and we'll be trying to make improvements moving forward. Just reference the level of maintenance and the establishment of the tree species. To be honest, again, it's been something we've sort of experienced difficulties with, both with COVID, the weather, and immediate staffing levels. But it's something we will be considering and updating on a monthly basis as we move on. Thank you.
Charlie, thanks very much.
Apologies, I missed Councillor Brown has a question as well.
No problem. Thanks, Chair. I just came in after there. It was just a follow-up on what Councillor Curran was talking about in terms of English Street, and I fully concur with what he was saying there. So I suppose I'm coming in as a councillor and a ratepayer on English Street myself, but I was lobbied by some of the businesses down there last year too, and was optimistic that I sent emails back at the time that English, something could have been done along English Street this year. As one of the historical original streets of Downpatrick and one of the main routes up to the cathedral, I think it's really important around Christmas time that we try and make more of an effort in that area. I'm probably a bit of a Scrooge myself in that I never really noticed that there weren't any Christmas lights, but it is very important to a lot of other people and a lot of businesses in that area. And I know from speaking to a few of the businesses along there that they are actually more than happy to potentially pay for some of the street, some of the Christmas illuminations themselves, to pay for the cost of connecting or the electricity supply, but they need help from council and potentially DFI as well in terms of connecting in to the electricity supply. And I've spoken to a fellow out in Craig Avon from DFI about it before, in terms of trying to get something sorted for this coming year. I do think there's a creative way to do this, to be honest, Kevin. It's not going to cost a lot of money, but I would just ask that you would consider going back and trying to get someone to speak to some of the businesses there on English Street and seeing if there's a compromise option instead of council necessarily providing it all themselves. I think there is an opportunity there for us to still support access into the existing street infrastructure, even though it's not, I know it's not your sort of traditional lamppost that you can plug into more easily, but I still think there's an opportunity there that I wouldn't want to miss up, and I think there's still plenty of time for us to look at it.
Sure. One of the things that perhaps I did omit was and forgive me if I get my geography wrong, but the street that leads from the Arts Centre heading down towards the roundabout at the Belfast Road, that's Church Street as far as we are going to increase the lighting along there so as to make that link between Market Street into Church Street. Now that may have some carryover impact for English Street, time will tell, but Chair, I'm happy to look again to see if there's something that can be done in relation to that general area, and work with our contractor and perhaps some of the local traders to see if there is some option that could be considered for this year, and if there is, if the committee so wishes, seek to carry that forward. But I can't promise at this stage because it may not be feasible or possible. It is only August, but we are already fairly well underway in terms of planning for Christmas.
Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I would appreciate it too. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you. So we're moving on then to item 8, which is the update on tree strategy works. And that's from Kevin.
Sure, this is for noting. It provides the committee with an overview of the council's arboricultural works carried out last 18 months. Councillors may remember that some months ago, it was back in September 2019, a business case was approved by the committee which led to a structured assessment both by internal staff and by an external contractor of the council's estimated 100,000 plus trees. Now we're not inspecting them all, we haven't inspected them all, but they're being inspected on a risk-based approach. And where the findings of that survey indicates that there's works required to the tree, then those works are undertaken. Those works are undertaken by our own trained staff, but also where their skill sets aren't able to cope with the type of work that's required, then we do have an appointed contractor who comes in and carries out that work on our behalf. Appendix 1 attached provides a list of the works undertaken during the 18-month period just passed, and Appendix 2 highlights the areas for future works. In this current financial year, there's a budget of £100,000 for tree works across the district, and it can be noted that in the first 18-month period, we've spent £72,455 through the contracted works out, so that doesn't take account of the time and effort and cost for those works carried out by our own internal staff. So you're happy to take any questions in relation to the report?
Thank you. I have a proposal from Councillor Casey and a seconder with Councillor Andrews. I'll take Councillor Casey's question.
Thanks very much, Chair. It's to do with the Parliament report about the canal towpath. Some of the trees that were planted. The ones at the wind have taken well and are vandal free at the moment. But I know Johnny's on the line there as well. As you go further out the towpath, there were a number of trees planted, native trees planted in two locations that I could see. The first location was about a mile out from the barrier at the wind, and all those trees were uprooted and the stakes that were used with them were thrown into the canal itself. On further out, about a mile further on out, past the flyover, there's 8 or 10 were planted there, but they seem to be taken okay. One or two have suffered the consequences of the warm weather. But is there any suggestion that we might revisit the planting that was vandalised? Because I'd hate to give up on it and let the vandals win in that respect. And just, it's not very often you get the opportunity to talk about the condition of the Newry Canal. I know that our staff are working diligently in the canal and the town itself to sort of tighten it up a bit. But if you go on further out towards the wind and from Reddy's Lock right out to Fern's Lock, it's that overgrown that even the ducks get out on the bank and walk or fly through it. They can't actually waddle through it. And I've written to the Riverhead Agency to try and get them to invest a few pounds in it, but you know what they're like. If there's a trickle through it at all, they ignore it. But we need to formally invite them to have a look at it from Reddy's Lock right on further out. Up to Reddy's Lock is our own responsibility, and it's fairly well overgrown, and I know the boys are working to try and get that far, to try and do something with it. And I must commend the work that they're doing. I commend the staff who maintain the towpath itself, empty the bins in a regular schedule, and cut the grass and trim the hedges back as well. But one other point, where the towpath splits past Cairn Bain from the next set of the towpath to get to Murphy's Corner, we need to have a look and see how many refuse bins there are on it. And if you think it might need one, to actually put one there, because people will use them rather than have them dumping stuff on the ground. Thanks very much for that.
Thank you. Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Sharon. Thanks for the report. And it's very comprehensive, and I'm delighted at the amount of work we are doing in regards to our forested areas. Yeah, just it's probably a question to Johnny is in regards to the future work programme. Some time ago, I brought a notice motion about leasing Donard Forest, or council to lease Donard Forest, which was it used to be the Ansley landlord's summer residence. So this was like an arboretum or a specimen collection that they have, and some great specimens in there. The problem with it is nobody manages it now. And I met with Johnny, it's a long time ago now, along with Barbara Fleming, in regards to looking at it. But I'm at a loss to see where it ended up, because we haven't leased it. I think it's a great opportunity for the council with our Moans Gateway project. I think it was sort of tied in with that, but in my opinion, that's too long down the road. You know, a lot of people are using the domains, they call it, the Donard domains. They're using it for, obviously, recreation, the school, Shimla College, and All Children's is right next to it. You've got the host community there. A lot of people do community cleanups in there, including myself. So there's a great opportunity for the council, also improving the habitat, but again, the visitor experience as well in that area. So if Johnny could maybe take a look where that went to, and maybe get back to me, how we progress it, or what I have to do to progress it. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor McKay.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And thanks again for that report. One of the areas I did notice here is even mentioned in it, location of Kilbroney and the Narnia Trail. I had 30 times I'd made my way down into that with other family members. And one of the things I noticed was, and it does talk about sectional fell mature trees, what have you. Now, the one particular area, I think there's 5, possibly 6 very tall trees that have been felled. And they just remain lying there. And I thought, in one sense, it's a wee bit careless looking, that those trees easy enough cut down, but then they left alive. So to my thinking, they would need to be chopped up smaller and removed. Now maybe that's a longer term plan, but I think in the end that's something that would need to be done. Thank you.
Thank you. And Councillor Rowan.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, it's just an issue to do with Ringmickleroy Park. And one point, Kevin, I had raised this with Aidan quite a number of weeks back, and they were to look into it and get it actioned. Nothing has happened so far. The reason I had raised it is because residents living opposite it had said there was a number of branches on the trees that had broke off on the upper part of it and were just hanging there. And also they seem to be wildly overgrown at this stage. But again, that's about 5-6 weeks ago, and I was given an assurance that it would be looked into and dealt with, and nothing has happened. So if I could ask the Kevin if you could look into that first.
Yeah, go ahead, Kevin.
Okay, sure. I'm gonna pray on Johnny here, his indulgence, maybe for some of these technical questions. Some of the points I'll pick up is outside this. I'll take up with Councillor Casey the issues that he's raised in terms of Riley Locke and Murphy's. I'm very impressed with his knowledge of all those areas in the along the canal. I'll take that up with Councillor Casey outside the meeting and the issues that he's raised in terms of Rivers Agency and their role within that. Johnny, have you managed to keep just a note of the thing? So it's replacement trees on the towpath, which were vandalised. The Gateway project that was referred to as well. And Councillor McKee's comments in relation to the tree that has fallen down at the Narnia. And Councillor Ryan's questions in terms of Ring McElroy Park. Have you any updates you can give the committee in terms of those, Johnny?
Firstly, reference the trees which were vandalised, etc., along the Newry Canal. They will be planted. It'll be done as soon as the planting season approaches, so I already am sort of trying to procure replacements for those. And reference the other areas, the tree planting, etc., along when there will be improvements made there. With reference to the questions in Kilbrony Park and specifically the Narnia Trail, we have embarked upon quite a large scale of work in there. To be honest, nothing had been carried out sort of strategically for decades, so there has been quite a bit. And as some of the elected members refer to, there are still large tree stumps, etc. left. We have had some of those removed over sort of the past 6 to 8 months, but again, even getting hold of contractors, to be honest, has been quite difficult because they're also subject to furlough, self-isolating, etc. And they're trying to react to work, which, to be honest, they haven't really planned or pre-scheduled themselves. We have cut as much as we can from a council perspective with our size of saws, and we'll continue to do more of that process. But hopefully over this winter, we will get most of those, if not all, sectioned up and removed, and some of them may be retained for biodiversity habitats, etc. And as well as that, we've also we're embarking on an invasive species removal program in that area. So over the next 12 to 18 months, there will be significant improvements in that site, which will be evident. And I'm sure we'll report back to committee with those as we progress. With reference to the tree at Ring McElroy, I might be thinking of a different tree, but I thought there had been pruning and remediation works carried out, but we can chase that up specifically from tomorrow onwards. And with reference to Councillor Clark's request for Donard Park, again, I had looked at it, but to be honest, it was time and resources. Quite a bit of my time has been taken up with Castle Welland. We've also taken on a lot of new forest locations, which are easily over 1,000 acres in themselves. And we have been rolling out improvements, as you can see from the report, district-wide. But it is quite a time-consuming process. Again, it's been hit with the current health crisis, but we will look more into that and report back. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for that. So we're moving on to item 9, All Ireland Pollinator Plan.
Thanks, Chair. So the report seeks council approval to register the council as a supporter of the All Ireland Pollinator Plan. In the simplest terms, the health of our natural ecosystem is fundamentally linked to the health of our bees and other pollinators. Maintaining our native flora also depends on healthy pollinator populations. We recognise this as a council in our own biodiversity action plan and would roll out actions under that within the plan. The All Ireland Pollinator Plan runs from 2021 to 2025. It's been drawn up from representatives of a range of public bodies across Ireland. It has six main objectives: making farmland pollinator friendly, making public land pollinator friendly, making private land pollinator friendly, having an All Ireland honeybee strategy, conserving rare pollinators, and strategically coordinating the plan in its entirety. In registering on the All-Ireland Pollinator Plan, this council would be agreeing to support the ethos of the All-Ireland Pollinator Plan and consider the plan in its policies, plans and management decisions where possible. It would be considering the evidence-based actions in the guidance document that's provided with the plan. And the guidelines document has something like 30 possible actions, many of which are low cost or cost neutral, and the council will be looking to carry out some or all of those actions over a period of time. In readiness to support for the All-Ireland Pollinator Plan and becoming an All-Ireland Pollinator Plan partner, the council will be formalising the actions which it's already undertaken to improve our district for pollinators, which, as I said previously, we have highlighted within our own biodiversity action plans, which are the recommendation from officers is that we do indeed register the council with that plan.
Thank you, Kevin. We have a proposal there from Councillor McGuinness. Have you a seconder? I like. Oh, sorry. Yes. Okay.
Just a wee comment with your indulgence, Chair.
Yes,
just
go ahead.
First of all, I'd like to propose that we do go ahead with the paper. And I think it's a good one, and that's a lot of forward thinking now in relation to pollination and the part that has to be played. As I say, over the past few years, more and more recent years, we've seen wilding come into play. You know what I mean? It's been even over in the mainland and in GB, we've seen a lot of local authorities who have set out parks and all sections of parks to wild it. It's a very good project, and I think it's important that we do play our part in this, and I do support the recommendation in 3.1, and also the minimal resources that this will have on the council. So I'm only too happy to move this forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you want to comment on that? Oh, sorry, Councillor Clark.
Just briefly, Chair, just to echo support for the initiative as well, and I think it's essential this council does sign up to the All Ireland group. I think even from my point of view of sharing expertise in regards to initiatives and stuff right across the island, seeing what works, what's best practice, I think it's useful from that point of view. But the communities have embraced this right across the board in regards to rewilding, in regards to, you know, our tree strategy, and in regards to we talked earlier about sustainable Christmas trees. We're talking about rewilding. We're talking about, you know, raised beds, community orchards. You know, communities have really bought into it. So I'm happy to support.
Thank you. And Councillor McKay.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Yes, I'm happy enough with the report. Just a question on, I've noticed, and again, maybe back to Kilbroney, and I know there's other areas of the rewilding areas for the benefit of the pollinator. Do those areas that have been left to be rewilded in whichever way, and as an element of me says, they could end up some of those areas maybe a lot more weeds than maybe grow in them. Will those areas remain sort of left free to grow in their own natural way, or do they in the winter time be cut back down and then allowed to regrow again? Thank you.
Thank you. And we have a comment there from Councillor Rowan.
Yeah, it's in a similar vein to what Harold has raised about the rewilding, and while we all welcome the project we took on as a council to do it, I just question how we went about that there. Because I do know recently, and I'll use Ring McIlroy Park as an example, but we had to get our grounds maintenance to go in and cut the grass because all we were left with was long grass and weeds. You know, do we not see these areas when we're rewilding them, that we get the wildflowers growing in them that makes them attractive looking? Because all we ended up doing in numerous parks across our district was making them an eyesore over the summer months, particularly when the hot weather came in and burnt the grass. And all you had was tall grass. And I've even noticed it out at Ross Monument. It's the same. Maybe what we need to do is choose our areas and put our energies into getting those right before we roll it out across the district. It just seems that we went across all our parks, left the grass to grow, and there was really no plan as to how that would work regarding wildflowers or whatever. But it is definitely something we need to look at because it hasn't worked. I don't believe it has worked the way it should be working. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Chair, I suppose I'll let Johnny come in after myself. It is maybe our first year going about this in a serious manner. And I suppose different areas have done different things. Some it's just been allowed to grow naturally. Others, more effort has been put in terms of planting of wildflower seed. And I think in all those areas, during the month of July, I think there was a level of beauty in them all, with the buttercups and a colour that came into those areas. But over the last couple of weeks, you can clearly see in some of those areas where all that's gone and they do become the draggled looking. And I have taken calls from members of the public who are questioning some of those areas where we have done that. So I think there's learning from this year, and we take that forward next year. Certainly, I would encourage the council to stick with it. There's positive benefits from the climate adaptation strategy that we work on, but also from the biodiversity action plan that we are committed to as well. But Johnny has more tactical knowledge and perhaps can cover the subject in a little bit more detail and give a little bit more reassurance than I'm currently able to do. So if you don't mind, I'll pass over to Johnny for some concluding comments in relation to that.
Chair, yes, we have rolled it out, you know, at many locations, as the elected members have said. Obviously, some have been more successful than others. And to be honest, it is very much a process of trial and error. It's very much dictated by the local nutrient level and conditions in each of the soils. We have, well, specifically I have formulated various cutting regimes. Again, this year we were sort of impacted with the dry weather, COVID and staffing restrictions. And again, we basically, when we started it, we didn't have adequate machinery. Quite a bit of that problem has been solved now because we've received a large collection flail mower. So it will be starting to work its way across the district now to cut the larger areas and many of the areas that people are now mentioning which look untidy will also be start to be cut and collected. But again, that's part of the problem, you know, what's rewilding to some is pure weeds to others, and unfortunately it really sort of kicks in from September, October time, whenever a lot of the flowers die back and the longer growth becomes more obvious. But again, we will be working those areas, working through this. Those areas that haven't worked, we'll be back to the drawing board to try and make improvements. But even reference the request for everyone likes high colour. We have sown out quite a few areas this year with native Irish wildflower mixes. Again, even they were subject to the drought. So, for example, Abbey Way in the middle of Newry should be a blast of wildflower colour, that whole bank between the two main carriageways. But that was sowed sort of late April, May time. And to be honest, it didn't rain for 2 months afterwards. So, you know, again, it's people's perception, it's climate. It's updating and modernising machinery and again people's works processes, and these are all things which we're taking on board, and again, we'll keep members updated as we move forward. Just as Kevin says, though, the concept of the rewilding and wildflower, this is very much an area which will emerge quite soon, reference the carbon benefits and the pollution reduction levels, etc. So really what a lot of people are going to approach COP26 with this year in October is the benefits that native wildflower and grass areas bring to the climate adaptation policies. Again, people have done the research on the trees quite a bit. We can measure that, and we have the actual pollution reduction figures. But the grassland is the next thing which is going to emerge quite soon. And a few of the major organisations sort of within Britain and Ireland, I know specifically, are going to approach this methodology to see if it can be sort of promoted to the same level as tree planting. So again, it's very much emerging concepts. We'll follow them and try and adhere to what we can. But obviously those areas which don't work, we'll go back to the drawing board. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on, we are... Sorry.
Wait a sec, we got a seconder for that item, did we?
Councillor McGuinness, yeah, that's okay. Sorry, Councillor McKay, I'm in there.
Could I come in just on Johnny's, just in the back? But just my thing is, Johnny, you're the man for the job, you know much more than we do, but I just the thought I had... on those wilding areas, you have a better moor now. I would imagine if you were able to cut those at the highest level they can cut it and the grass collected, at least it keeps your boundaries still in place and it doesn't create a bigger job comes the new year where you cut low and where you don't cut. Thank you.
Just in reference to Councillor McKay there, he's exactly right. But for sort of recent staffing restrictions, etc., we would have had most, if not all, of the locations he's referring to cut. Moving forward, some of them probably will be cut twice, three times, maybe four times a year. We'll be looking at it locally. Really what we're trying to do is just encourage floral enrichment, and it's really to feed the pollinating insects, etc. So there will be significant changes in that moving forward within the next few weeks and definitely from next year moving on.
Thank you, and that's us done. We'll move on to item 10, distribution of caddy bins and liners, and that's Sinead taking that report.
Thank you, Chair. This report is for decision. The purpose of the report is to recommend for committee agreement arrangements for both the future distribution of compostable food waste bags, and refer to those as caddy liners, and to consider arrangements for the availability of household caddies, the small brown kitchen bins. And this is following a previous motion, as noted on 1.1 of the report. The Council had previously considered the distribution of compostable food waste bags in February 2017 and again in August 2018. And by now, most householders have been issued with a small kitchen caddy along with their householder brown bin that's been provided. Currently, a kitchen caddy is provided as part of the food waste recycling pack whenever a householder purchases a new brown bin. The purpose of this report is to establish a policy relating to both the distribution of compostable food waste bags and the availability of kitchen caddies during the remainder of 21-22. And just to note the key issues on the report, firstly, in relation to the arrangements for the distribution of compostable food waste bags. The Council currently makes the bags available free of charge to residents for collection from the Council's household recycling centres, subject to availability. Pre-COVID-19, the compostable food waste bags were also available for collection by residents from 29 locations throughout the Council, and once COVID restrictions permit, the distribution method will be reinstated. In addition to this, biobags are also provided when residents are in receipt of a new brown bin, and residents can also supplement stock via the purchase of biodegradable bin liners from most supermarkets. It is noted that the Council currently stocks around 76,000 rolls of these liners at a cost of £50,000 to the Council. However, availability of supply has been disrupted, and we're expecting new stock in next week. I would also note that the alternative is newspapers can be used as a substitute for bin or carry lining, and residents are also permitted to deposit loose food waste in either the kitchen carries and brown bins. Compostable food waste bags, although as noted not essential, the evidence has been provided that availability of these bags and regular promotion of the same does underpin recycling initiatives for food waste recycling. And the intent is to seek to implement initiatives to redirect food waste from black bins into the brown recycling bins, with a disposal cost saving achieved for each tonne redirected. In relation to the food waste carries, our current policy, as noted, is that they're provided as part of the food waste recycling pack with new purchases. Current council stocks are around 10,000 at a cost of 12,000 per annum. And since, again, the COVID pandemic, collection of the food waste carries has been paused from the Green Bank complex. However, distribution is currently undertaken free of charge and incurs an unbudgeted cost and reassignment of resources. A small number of food waste carry bins have previously been made available to councillors on request for distribution. Motion as proposed would commit the council to providing kitchen carries and delivering bins to local area. And that would, just note that it would have further impact on other services should staff be reassigned to such a role. Schools have previously requested provision of food waste carries to assist to promote recycling initiatives in the schools. And consideration should be given to the availability of food waste carries at schools. So several options have been noted in Appendix 1 and Appendix 2. And the recommendations of this report are for members to consider and agree to in relation to food waste bags option 1, which is the continuation of current arrangements for the distribution of the bags through the household recycling sites and the 29 other locations following relaxation of restrictions. Bags also to be made available at appropriate community outlets were requested, and bags to be made available to councillors when requested for onwards delivery to known requesters from September 2021. And then in relation to the carry bins, the recommended option is option 3, where carry bins are made available for householders who request a replacement carry bin with a publicity initiative to be rerun, encouraging householders not to place food waste in black bins. And the support of the initiative to be made available and distributed with 100 carries, up to 100 carries being made available through councillors, with councillors to issue to householders at recorded addresses, and councillors also receiving additional instruction on Let's Recycle Right and a role of compostable liners. Also 1,000 food carries being made available for issue by customer services on request, and then a further action of 10 food carries to be issued to primary schools on request.
Thank you, Sinead. Can I get a proposer and seconder for that? I have a proposal from Councillor McGuinness and seconded by Councillor Murphy. Thank you. Councillor Andrews, do you have a question?
Just more comment than a question. First of all, I'm happy to support the recommendations that have been laid out in the paper and to thank the officers for bringing this to the Council. And I do, from what we've seen, the recommendations, they're widespread, and again, one of the cornerstones is education, and it's good to see a willingness to engage with schools and to get the message of recycling, etc., across to the kids. So again, it's good to see. So well done, everybody. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Sharon. Thanks for the work that went into pulling this together. Yeah, I agree with the recommendations. I think the public again are, you know, they are buying into the recycling, and particularly the brown bin. There's a paper coming up in regards to the community getting the benefits of the compost. So anything we can do to, you know, publicise the need to recycle, and we have to do more recycling. And everybody has a bit to play in regards to the climate change emergency. So this is another way that the council can help residents achieve, even personal goals. But in regards to, there's many residents don't even have a brown bin, you know, and I'm particularly thinking in flats where the brown bins were rolled out. I know in the Legacy Council were rolled out in urban areas, including upstairs flats, where people had no gardens, you know, so they didn't avail of the bin. They said they didn't need it, but now that there's food waste going into these bins, I think we did it before. I think we should maybe look at, providing brown bins to residents who don't have them, to make that available for a 3-month frame, to allow people to apply for councillors, to make people aware that there's availability of a brown bin. Because I know a lot of people and their hearts struggling and working families and stuff, and they just can't afford another brown bin. That's not their priority. You know, feeding their children is probably the priority. So I think if the council can even give, you know, an opportunity for, say, 3 months, you know, to get a free brown bin. If they haven't got one before, of course, and this is people who've never had a brown bin, I think it would be very useful for the council to do. And I propose we do that. Sure.
Can I get it? Are we seconding?
Yeah, I'll second it. Sure, thanks.
No worries, thank you. And Councillor McKay.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Yes, everything that's been said there prior to this, I agree with totally. I think in relation to, I'm surprised maybe there's so much stuff going into the black bin, because I do know the figures that's produced by the various organisations, environmental organisations, show a very high percentage of emissions. When we're talking about climate change and how we're moving forward, a lot of emissions is created in landfill sites by food waste. And I think that's a good starting base if we can reduce that. So I did read somewhere there if there's become an option of even people paying for a carry, and I would rule that out right away. People should not have to pay for a carry. Where people pay for a carry, there's a good chance they won't even bother with it at all. Why bother? And then it might end up going to the black bin. But I would really want to see those carries handed out in a responsible manner, and the same with Willie's proposal, that it goes to someone who could furnish an address exactly of where they're living and be sure that it goes to the right people. It's not two or three going to the one house at local council. At least we can take that responsibility of making sure they're going to proper use. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Can I just check? There was a proposal and seconding before Councillor Clark's proposal, that the original proposal and seconding would be happy to accept that amendment, which would be to accept the recommendations in the report. And then what officers will do, we'll look at the feasibility of deploying those brown bins out to people resident in flats, if the committee would agree with that.
Chair, sure, I'm happy to accept that amendment.
Okay, right on. Thank you very much. Happy to move on. Councillor Andrews, you want to comment?
Harold. No, just more or less that comment wasn't, this is what Johnny did come in with to support the amendment to the original proposal. So again, just underline that we're happy to support that.
Thank you. Moving on then, we're on item number 11, fleet replacement update. That's from Sinead.
Thank you, Chair. This report is for decision. The purpose of the report is to provide an update on council approvals currently in place and plans to complete the procurement processes to deliver new vehicles to replace existing service vehicles, so as to ensure the vehicles meet the services needs. The approval of this report will ensure compliance with the council's procurement policy and corporate governance. And the total estimated value of the replacements for those vehicles already approved is £1.61 million. Key issues, as highlighted in the report, a review has been completed of the current fleet, and the table summarises the vehicles that have been identified as requiring priority replacements by the 31st of March 2022. Replacement criteria is based upon the current vehicle replacement policy for refuse vehicles, or if assessment by fleet based upon the vehicle's condition, age, reliability, cost to maintain and suitability to meet the services needs. You'll see from the table that 85 vehicles have been identified as the required replacement, with 25 business cases already approved. And the estimated replacement cost for the vehicles listed in the table is 5.6 million. It is noted that the replacement programme has stalled in the past 24 months. However, additional resource from within the department to re-energise their fleet replacement programme has been identified. Business cases for additional vehicles to be replaced will be brought to future meetings of the Neighbourhood Services Committee. Where fleet identifies additional vehicles that are no longer viable to keep in service, we're seeking council to allow fleet to make arrangements to replace these with temporary hires in the short term and to make arrangements to replace them using the existing capital replacement budget. And 2.3, I would note the obligations that we have relating to operator licence and safety. And then with reference to method of procurement, procurement of these capital assets must comply with EU-UK procurement law and council policy and ensure value. We've noted that the target dates for refuse vehicles will be the end of October 2022, for median vehicles end of September 2022, and these targets are subject to a number of external factors, namely market supply restrictions and prices, which can change up to the time of ordering, and also import tariffs. We note that officers will seek to continue to monitor vehicle developments and seek to employ green technologies where they are proven to meet the council's need. So I ask for the agreement of the recommendations as noted in 3.1 of the report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Sinead. We have a proposal there from Councillor Andrews. Have we got a seconder? Councillor Curran has seconded that. Thank you.
Comment as well, Chair.
Yes, I'm going to take your comment now.
Thanks so much, Chair. Okay, thanks, Aoife. Just more or less, I would like to thank the officers for the report in connection with the vehicles and the remnant replacements. I know from entering the council in 2011, I've always been a firm believer in having a first-class fleet of lorries and vehicles to enable an efficient and reliable delivery of services across the district. And also, I do welcome a commitment to also to deliver a service with the using vehicles that will be incorporated in an environmental friendly manner, using these technologies to enable this to happen. I know, and a lot of other councillors and all have been aware, there's been a lot of mechanical breakdowns which have impacted on the services, and see that we have lorries, etc., long past the sell-by date. And it is vital that they are replaced, you know, and do welcome the procedures that are now in place in this paper to enable that to happen. And I'm more than happy to propose and support the recommendations that have been tabled by the officer. But I know this might relate to the paper, but I thought it might be a source of additional revenue to the council. Well, I was chairperson of the APSE Waste Management Working Group, which comprised of, you know, local authorities from England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland. Some of the local authorities were permitting service vehicles, such as their refuse collection vehicles, to carry the likes of advertising, and just as what, you know, advertising, you know, firms and businesses. And I was wondering if this could be looked into and implemented in due course, and maybe check with the APSE officer involved in that sector, and also in relation to the same APSE officer could deal with agenda item number 9 that was discussed. But again, happy to propose, Chair, that we proceed with the recommendations.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. We have then Councillor Curran with a question.
Yeah, sure. It's just that how I've already supported the approval of this again. But just for my own information, in relation to the replacement group, we've already passed that we will replace over eight year old vehicles. We've already passed that there, and have approved that replacement at £1,610,000 to get there. Has that operation started to happen now? Because if one looks over, and Johnny related earlier on in his opening remarks, that there was a lot of breakdowns just over the last number of months there, so there was to get there. And this has a cause and effect on the service of lifting bins and doing that there. You know, have we started to replace these vehicles now at the present time? Because there's no good keeping a vehicle there that's going to break down every so often when it got there. And all I want to know, have we started this service? Because we need to replace them as soon as possible.
Yeah, Chair, I'm happy to take that. to answer the councillor's question, yes, we have begun to replace vehicles as part of the fleet replacement programme. However, as Sinead pointed out, it has stalled over the last 24 months for a variety of reasons. And I think, Chair, as the councillor referred to, we're seeing the effect of that, which is we have 40% of our refuse collection fleet is older than the 8 years replacement policy. And you then have a heightened probability of vehicle breakdowns. You then have increased cost in terms of looking after and maintaining those vehicles. And then when the vehicles are off-road, you're bringing in additional costs because of hire and indeed potentially paying your staff overtime to catch up in the service. So there's a real fundamental need for the service to focus on prioritising the replacement of these vehicles. And that's the purpose of this report, Chair, is to show that we're taking it seriously and that we've secured an additional resource within waste management to actually energise and expedite. The problem is, Chair, it's not a quick fix. There's about a 12-month lead time, unfortunately, from vehicle ordering to vehicle delivery. And that is a challenge that the whole motor industry is facing, not just ourselves. So that's why we have been also seeking approval in terms of replacing older vehicles with hire in the interim to enable services to continue to be provided.
Thanks, Chair, for that. But have we now put orders in for the vehicles that we need to replace? I know the time factor, even cars now too, it's the same, believe it or not, and different other things. But have we put an order in now for replace the 8-year-old vehicles now? And we'd have to wait that extra period of time that before we get them in. But have we taken that course of action so that we will proceed to have vehicles that will be able to carry out the collection rounds?
Chair, no, those orders have not been placed yet because we need to tender for them. So for those previous business cases that were approved by committee, that is still to be done. And then there are a number of vehicles which we have identified which remain outstanding for business case approval. But in the report, we've made a commitment that those business cases will be brought back to the next meeting. And that's the first stage in the process.
Thank you very much, Johnny, for that explanation.
Thank you. Councillor McKay.
Thanks, Chair. Could just ask a question or two here to the officer. And the estimated replacement cost for vehicles listed in the table above is $5,600,000. Is that just for the 25 which have business case approval? Because it says there's a total of 85. The other question was, obviously these are 3.5-ton vehicles upwards. The medium chassis cab vehicles, which says 20 here, does that just mean chassis and cab still has to be bodies to be put on them at an additional cost? And the other question I think is pretty important, although we mightn't be that far yet, is how are these vehicles being energised, either by fossil fuel, hydro or electricity?
I'm happy to take that, Chair. So in terms of the breakdown of the vehicle types, the estimated cost is for all those vehicles included in the table. Okay.
85.
Yep, all 85. Okay. The question you raised in respect of the medium chassis cab vehicles, that is just what we described them as. So that would be delivered, ready to go into service, which would include the chassis and the bodywork as well. Okay, depending on the vehicle type. And then the last question, Chair, I think was around the fuel types.
Yeah.
Okay. Going back to what the committee agreed at the start of the year, for all vehicles over 3.5-ton gross vehicle weight, we are going to go for a like-for-like replacement. So if they are diesel, we will replace with diesel. That's because the vehicle technology is not currently in place for those larger vehicles for alternative fuels, and neither is the infrastructure in place to support those alternative fuels. But the committee, you may recall, we did agree to vehicles underneath 3.5-ton to prioritise exploring alternative fuels in the first instance. So they would look at electrification and indeed other alternative fuels.
Okay.
Thank you. I see Councillor Murphy, did you want to comment or are you just seconding? Okay, Councillor Curran has already seconded, if that's okay. Thank you. Sorry, turn myself off there. We're going to move on to item 12, Enforcement Improvement Plan Update, and it's just for noting from Sinead.
Yes, thank you, Chair. So the purpose of this report is to update the committee regarding the implementation of the Enforcement Improvement Plan for dog fouling and illicit dumping. The improvement plan was approved by the committee in March 2021 with direction by members for regular updates. So the first summary table gives an outline of the progress on the action points reported in March 2021. I'll just pick a few points. So in terms of the enforcement officers, you'll note that we've had some issues in relation to staffing, and there are a number of vacancies there. The promotional plans has been implemented as approved by the committee. Interest in cleanups has been significant, with all 61 official requests supported. Fixed penalty notices and actions are included in Appendix A of the report, and plans to report monthly figures on the council website are in progress with a view to going live in September. The proposal has been submitted and adopted to provide 10 kitchen caddies in the fixed schools with a view to issuing for the new school term. The communication plans have been rolled out, and the programme's considered to be highly successful, with almost 300,000 views of promotional videos on social media. Work is in progress in relation to CCTN body cams, and further information will be provided at the next update. Arrangements continue with Louth County Council. A video has been recorded and is currently at the editing stage. And availability of dog waste bags, 40,000 dog waste bags have been purchased with a proposal to erect asbestos initially at Warren Point in Newcastle Seafronts. Moving on to the publicity campaign rollout between June and August. So you can note the delivery of that campaign, and it's included a dedicated landing page for responsible dog ownership, series of social media work, media posts with key messages around dog ownership and fouling, and then further public relations in the phase three of the engagement, where the Neighbourhood Services team have supported a number of community groups by supplying them with resources, including litter pickers, bags and gloves. They also, in relation to groups who are organising community cleanups, there has been an agreement and sharing of content of the images of these cleanups with the Neighbourhood Services team, and these can be posted on our social media channels. The Love Here posters were also used on the social media channels and the paid campaign on Facebook, and it was rolled out, setting out a variety of approaches to heighten awareness of dog fouling and litter awareness. And just to note, the recommendation is to note the content of the report.
Thank you, Sinead. We have a proposal there for from Councillor Andrews. I'm happy to second. And Councillor Andrews, you have a comment.
Yes, thanks very much, Chair. And first of all, I'd like to thank the officers for bringing to us this evening a very comprehensive and very interesting report, and fairly supportive of it all. Earlier in the meeting this evening, I spoke about additional staffing all being recruited, you know, and I think as elected representatives and all, and as members of the public, we'd be of the firm mind and opinion that enforcement is very important and needs to be carried out. And, you know, in the previous agenda item there, a number and regarding item four of tonight's meeting in regards to future planning, you know, I think we could look at you talk about staffing levels, we could look at hiring and engaging more officers to cover such a huge district from outside Sinfield to Newton Hamilton, and securing funding to enhance these important roles that deal with dog fouling, fly tipping, litter problems, etc. And maybe I would propose, with the indulgence of the committee, that we bring this action forward to a project board to debate and to work on items, as was discussed in agenda item number four earlier. So thanks very much.
Thank you. Were you seconded for that?
Sorry, Chair, can I just clarify what Councillor Andrews was proposing?
Just more or less, we were talking about earlier on in agenda item number four about, you know, setting up a project board that was going to deal with, you know, with the operational update in neighbourhood services. And, you know, and I felt that maybe to secure more funding to enhance enforcement, that, you know, maybe this could be looked at under the auspices of a future project board.
Chair, the project board meeting was relating to the PC strategy. Item 4 was the operational update about the challenges we had in July and August. Yeah. I think maybe what I'm hearing, and maybe if I can play it back, is we're operating at 50% capacity.
Yes.
With our enforcement officer at the moment. We're finding it difficult to retain and to recruit staff into those posts. I am aware, Chair, that other councils have used, supplemented, is probably the best way to describe it, a contractor. And I think it was in the BBC recently, up on the North Coast, whereby I think a contractor was brought in and issued something like over 300 fixed penalty notices. That is not in our enforcement improvement plan, but if members wanted, we could look at the feasibility of that, because that might be able to supplement what we're already doing and allow us to blitz specific areas. But I would need direction from the committee on that. If you would like us to do that, we could bring back a report on the feasibility of maybe engaging that type of service to supplement and particularly fill the gaps that we have at the moment in terms of our own council employed enforcement officers.
Thanks, Johnny. And more or less, I think what's long term I'm looking at is securing budgets, you know what I mean, and funding to enhance and deliver to the public and for enforcement of people, you know, say that, you know, it's a very important cornerstone. So I think it's really long term I'm looking at, and I think it is important that we do sort of operate in house as a council and to get those officers on board. And maybe, as you suggested there, maybe look at that option. But I'm a firm believer of in house with council. So, but again, I welcome know that all suggestions that, as you say, you'll bring back to us. But I think we're reiterating here, it's the future. It's getting budgets and funding in place long term to enhance our services. Thanks.
Thank you.
Sorry, Chair. So if that's something the committee would like us to do, we need a proposer and seconder. This paper was for noting, so it was just to update you in relation to the enforcement plan improvement update. But if the will of the committee is there to go and look at the feasibility of using a contractor to supplement our own council employed enforcement officers, as other local authorities have done, we'd be happy to look at that feasibility and bring that back if that's the will of the committee.
I think, Chair, that might be a worthwhile exercise to take place, you know, because Johnny would then be able to look at all the situations together, bring some recommendations back that we'll be able to go forward with. So I think what Johnny is suggesting is a way forward.
Yeah.
Well, I'd only be too happy to second Councillor McGuinness's proposal that we do go and look at other options. But it is important that council leads the way here. You know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So, sorry, Councillor Casey, we have a question from you.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. As we know, the two major issues in our council is littering and dog fouling, and we just haven't nailed any of the two of them yet. Dog fouling is the bane of everybody, to be quite honestly. I don't know many times you get complaints during the day, but it's virtually impossible to catch the offenders. Well, they get the parties, and I'm encouraging people, if they do see it, to report it. That reporting is done confidentially. And I don't know how many fines we've had, Sinead, on dog fouling or littering. How do we compare with other councils? And if I could go back to the towpath again, dogs and dogs on leads. I came across a guy the other day with five different dogs, none of them on the lead. That's, you know, that's a very frightening situation for maybe some one person coming along with their own little pet dog, the counter five dogs. And the signs up at the beginning of the towpath, it says dogs must be on leads. But it's not enforceable because it's an old Newry and Mourne sign. If the guy was to be taken to court, it wouldn't stand up because that sign is not valid anymore. So we need to be thinking about replacing that sign with a Newry, Mourne and Down District Council logo on it and reinforce dogs on leads and clean up after your dogs. But I think we're all agreed that there must be additional staff is the problem. We need additional staff. And you can't have a dog warden in every state, I know that, or a litter warden, but it'd be good to see them out visible and visit the towpath on a regular basis too. Thanks, Chair, and thanks, Johnny.
Thanks, Charlie. And we have Councillor McKay.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I had a second, and I don't need it now. I've already been proposed a second, but just to be query on that, and Charlie has hit on it there. I wasn't overly impressed with the figures that we have in front of us, but those that fixed penalty notices have been given to, and I totally agree with Johnny's plan then going forward, because I feel as though in-house is not working. Well, I would think it should be working. So maybe if there was a, should only be a 6-month test, a crash test, and make an example. If you could bring in a number of people and publicise, I know you maybe couldn't do it, who they are and all the rest of it, but certainly hit on particular areas and make your way across NMW, NMD, and make your way across and sort of emphasise where these boys are at, the work they've done, the number of fixed penalty notices have been handed out, and I think there'd be an element, and that would be part of the longer term thing would happen, because people realise, I can't do this because I'm going to get fined. But on the long term, if we use in-house, it hadn't changed in Dykemona councils. The number, I don't think, have increased anything. You know, and it's difficult. It is a difficult job to do. But maybe those outside guys maybe have a different way of working and a better way of work. Thank you.
Thank you. Shiv, do you want to come back in on that?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Just in relation to Councillor Casey's question about statistics and comparing with other councils, I don't have those statistics available today, but that is something that I can report back to the next committee. The enforcement in relation to dogs on leads and signage, again, that's something that we'll take back to officers. In relation to Councillor McKee's, yes, we'll certainly consider your points in the paper brought back. I would say in relation to the current resource, and it is noted in the paper that we are down currently, we're running on 50% of the resource that we need. There has been a lot of complaints, as you know, around fly tipping, and a lot of their time is taken with the reactive work rather than the planned patrols, and that's something that is an issue when we're down in terms of resources. So, yes, thank you for your comments. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Okay. So, next on the agenda is for noting number 13, Circular Economy Strategic Framework Call for Evidence. That's Sinead as well.
Thank you, Chair. This is for noting, and the purpose of this paper is the Department for the Economy is currently developing a circular economy strategic framework for Northern Ireland to increase collaboration and deliver a more joined up approach on circular economy activities. And this is to enhance DfE's understanding of the Northern Ireland circular economy ecosystem and set a clear vision and ambition to inform future strategy. The key issues of DfE has called for evidence on 8 focus areas for inclusion in the strategic framework that they believe present the greatest opportunity to increase circulation of key products and materials in NI, reduce carbon emissions and help create a green economy. The focus areas are closely aligned with the European Circular Economy Action Plan and include sectors identified for investment by DfE. A response to the call for evidence was provided on behalf of Newry Morne and Down District Council, endorsing the responses provided by ARC21, Northern Ireland Local Authority, Local Government Association and Sustainable NI, and also providing evidence of good examples of planned and delivered circular activities and innovations within our own council area and in Northern Ireland. So recommendations for the report are that council members are asked to note the contents of the response provided in Appendix 1.
Thank you, Sinead. Have we a proposer and seconder for that? Proposal from Councillor McGuinness. And I second it. Yeah. Sorry.
For noting, you do next, right? Yeah.
Okay. So next on the agenda is 14, distribution of compost for community groups. And again, that's Sinead.
Thank you, Chair. So again, this report is for noting. And the purpose of this report is to inform the committee on the availability of compost from the brown bin collections to community and environmental groups, as requested to be tabled at the August meeting of the committee. ARC21, through their steering group meeting, coordinate the distribution of the bag compost from NWP during compost week. Each council makes a decision whether to buy bags of compost for distribution during compost week, which normally runs in September each year, and carry out associated publicity. However, it is noted that due to COVID-19 pandemic, this has not progressed over the last 2 years. Compost Week 2021 will be tabled for discussion at the August ARC21 Steering Group meeting, with a view to exploring the feasibility of a joint approach to the distribution of the compost through ARC21. Should the decision be made not to opt for a joint approach during Compost Week, Council will have the opportunity to order compost for local projects as identified at the cost of £60 per pallet plus delivery, and each pallet holds 60 bags. Prices may vary according to the cost of the bags. And the recommendation of the report is that members are asked to note an update report will be provided at the September meeting of the committee.
Thanks, Sinead. We have a proposal from Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Casey, and Councillor Casey has a question.
Thanks very much, Aoife. Sinead, for my sins, I didn't read the full report, but I'm conscious of what you have said there. You've answered maybe some of my concerns. When is the rollout date for one? How do you plan? Who do you apply to? Who do you contact? And how many bags or pallets per group is it? And if a group is a charity, for instance, is there are they absolved from any charge whatsoever? Those are little, I suppose, fine details. And can they be lifted at council, the council yard, if we have them on in stock? Thanks, Sinead. Thanks, Aoife.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Casey, your questions will form the part of the update report at the September meeting, which will lay out those various options, and a decision can be made in relation to how this will be rolled out, charging, etc.
Great, thanks. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, so item number 15 to 17 is for noting. Item number 15 is ARC 21 Joint Committee Minutes held on Thursday the 27th of May.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Members, I don't propose to go through the minutes unless members have any comments or questions, or maybe just ask for a proposer and seconder for noting, please.
Yeah, so Harold McKay has proposed and Councillor McGuinness has seconded. Thank you. Okay, so moving on to item number 18 and 19. Items 18 and 19 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act NI 2014, information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, and the public may, by resolution, be excluded during these items of business. I need a proposer and a seconder to go into closed session. So I have a proposal from Councillor Andrews and seconded by Councillor McGuinness. Thank you. Councillor Andrews has proposed and Councillor McGuinness has seconded to come out of closed session. Okay, so on proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor McGuinness, it was agreed to note the content of the report and approve the findings of the business case presented to accept option 3, replacement of defective safety tiles with a wet pour surface to safety standards required for each of the 24 play parks under consideration over the financial years 21-22 to 22-23, project to proceed subject to budget availability. Okay. Yeah, and... Sorry, and item 18, yes, can you listen? On the proposal of Councillor Andrew, seconded by Councillor McGuinness, it is agreed to note that ARC 21 Joint Committee meetings minutes held on Thursday the 27th of May 2021. Thank you. So thank you everybody for being extremely patient with me, and I want to thank Johnny, Sinead and Clef for keeping me right the whole way through. Johnny just has a few closing comments. Thanks.
Yes, Chair, this is just a statement that I need to read out on behalf of the Chief Executive, and it reads as, due to the current legislative uncertainty around remote meetings and the restrictions on indoor gatherings, the Chief Executive also agrees to exercise her delegated authority under standing orders to implement the resolution of the committee once ratified by Council, subject to any conflict of interest or legal advice that the decision is unlawful. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Sinead.
Thank you, Chair. Well done.